Thanks, Andrew. I think there was some really good things to reflect on, and I think all of us, if we're honest, definitely need to take that to heart. That I think that that's a progression in our Christian walk, continuing to allow our focus to be seeking God's approval and not man's approval. Because even look at the letters, and if we think we're beyond it, we can remember Peter, right? What happened there, right? Apostle of God, used mightily, ended up separating himself from the Gentiles because he was wanting the approval of certain men instead of the approval of God. And this is the very man who God told to go and preach the gospel to Cornelius and baptize him. And yet somehow, over the course of 20 some odd years, and presumably he's continuing to mature in his walk, he came to a place where he just felt that he didn't want to eat with the Gentiles anymore because he was so concerned about what the approval of man was. And so I think it's something for all of us to know that even if we don't see it, I can assure you it's there. And so we need to be growing in that and allow the Lord to continue to cause us to grow and mature and be free from that, seeking God's approval, because that's ultimately how we'll end up being a blessing to those around us. I'm going to share very briefly just three quick passages, but just something that was speaking to my heart this morning. The first one is in 2 Corinthians. In 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 8, Paul says to the church there, he says, "For we do not want you to be unaware, brethren, of our affliction which came to us in Asia, that we were burdened excessively beyond our strength, so that we despaired even of life. Indeed, we had the sentence of death within ourselves, so that we would not trust in ourselves, but in God who raises the dead, who delivered us from so great a peril of death, and will deliver us, he on whom we have set our hope, and he will yet deliver us." And I was reading this passage and a few others, and some others I'm not going to read, but a few others I'll get to, and just reflecting this morning on this time where Paul was in Asia, and he had a sentence of death within himself. He had a place where the affliction was so heavy that they despaired even of life. And I think personally what he's talking about is the persecution and the enemies of the church. And they were just so swarmed and so surrounded that of themselves, there was no solution. Like he couldn't, in his own reasoning and anything he could have done, there was no way to get out of this burden. It was too much for them. So they came to the place where they had a sentence of death within themselves, where they actually came to a place where they were realizing, like, apart from God, we're going to die. Apart from God, there is no hope. But why did that happen? Well, it says in verse 9, there was a reason for this. They came to this place so that they would learn not to trust in themselves, but God who raises the dead. So they went through a period of excessive burden where they despaired even of life. And why did it happen? It happened so that they would learn not to trust in themselves. And I think as I was reflecting on this and the other passage I'm going to read, we can see, like, and certain people who are used mightily of God, there can be these great trials and difficulties that come to them to teach them not to trust themselves. But I can also say that for each one of us, I think if we're feeling a little burdened beyond our strength, if we're feeling that it's a situation is beyond ourselves to change, beyond ourselves to necessarily overcoming in our own strength, I was reading this and thinking this can be a good reminder that maybe God is teaching us not to trust in ourselves, not to put our hope in our own ability. And I can tell you this, I've never been in a situation like Paul was describing here, but I can tell you there are times when God is stripping away a little bit, where he's stripping away at that confidence. He's stripping away at that ability to solve and navigate this life in our own strength and in our own intellect and in our own abilities. And those are, it's painful. It's painful when you're in a situation where all of a sudden you're just feeling, I can tell for me personally, oftentimes it comes with a little humiliation. Little humiliation where you get exposed and realize, man, like, I don't have it all put together. I don't have all the answers. I'm not going to solve this on my own. Or there can be situations in our own lives or perhaps with somebody we love where we're again brought to a place where, man, like, I don't have the answer to this. And I can tell you, I don't think any of us, if we're honest, would raise our hands and say, I enjoy this. Like, this is pleasant. I'm enjoying this time right now, being stripped down, being brought to a place where I am feeling burdened beyond my strength. It's not enjoyable. And I don't think Paul's telling it, even in his faith, I don't think he was saying he enjoyed it. He said they had the sentence of death within themselves. They had, they were burdened beyond their strength, so they despaired even of life. Paul wasn't enjoying this, but he came through it. He came through it with an answer. He came through it with two things. He came through it knowing that God does not want him to trust in himself. And what's more, he came through with a testimony. He came through with a testimony that God delivered him. That when he found a situation beyond his strength, beyond his ability, that God delivered him. And that gives him hope. And it gives him a hope that he can share with others. He said, he delivered us from so great a peril of death and will deliver us. He on whom we have set our hope, and he will yet deliver us. So he came through this stripping down, this place of being brought low so that he wouldn't trust in himself, and came through with realizing, I can't trust in myself. That even in spite of all that God has done, because that's the temptation. We see God work. We see God do something. And all of a sudden we've realized that somehow it's, may not verbalize it. You wouldn't say that I got this, I can do this on my own, I've got this under my own control. But it can come into our heart because God has helped us. He's worked through different situations, and God can see that. He sees our heart, and he's the one who then brings us into a situation where once again we have to realize, I can't trust in myself. I don't have it together. I need to depend on my Heavenly Father. I need to come to a place where I accept my own humility, where I accept the fact that I may not have all the answers, or I need a deliverance. But then Paul also says that through that, he has hope, that he has a confidence in his Heavenly Father who will deliver and will deliver again. I've been through it this time, and I know the next time it comes, I will be delivered again. And I also think it's encouraging in verse 11, that if we find ourselves in these situations, we should definitely be asking others to pray for us. You also joining and helping us through your prayers so that thanks may be given by many persons on our behalf for the favor bestowed on us through the prayers of many. So in this situation, coming with not trusting in himself, coming with not trust, realizing that he needs to trust in God who raises the dead, he also was grateful for the prayers of others. I think it all kind of ties together to me with the being stripped down, being brought to a place of humility, being brought to a place where you don't have a confidence in yourself. You realize you need to have your confidence in God, and you realize that you need prayer from others. I've been encouraged over the last few weeks. I actually hadn't thought of the correlation. I still am not wanting to overemphasize some of the difficulties that we've had with Magdalene and even to some extent with Maddie and just processing all of it. But I can tell you one thing I've been very encouraged about over the past number of weeks is just the opportunity to ask other brothers and sisters in the body for prayer about specific needs. And I just have been encouraged by the responses of people are quick to say, yes, I'll pray, and realizing that there's a need there. And I've also been encouraged to see that I believe God is working through it. Like, for us personally, there's been difficulties, but in every one, God has brought about a deliverance. God has brought about a relief. God has brought about a healing in Maggie, or brought about an encouragement to Maddie. And I've just been encouraged through all of this to be reminded to be asking for specific prayer. That's part of the function as a body, is to be asking one another, to bear one another's burdens. And this is a way we can do it. And in Paul being brought into a place where he was beyond his own strength, He was very grateful for the prayers of others, that those prayers helped him, joining us and helping us through your prayers. And I think there's a correlation there. So two other passages, let's go to quickly. Let's go, I think it's to Luke 21. Sorry, Luke 22. Once again, we have a man who's going to be used by God, but there's going to be a place of sifting, a place of being brought beyond his own strength. And if you read in Luke chapter 22, verse 31, Jesus says to Simon, "Simon, Simon, behold, Satan has demanded permission to sift you like wheat. But I have prayed for you that your faith may not fail. And when once you have been turned again, strengthen your brethren." But he said to him, "Lord, with you I am ready to go both to prison and to death." And he said, I say to you, Peter, the rooster will not crow today until you've denied three times that you know me. And I think most of us know the story of how it unfolded exactly as Jesus said, with Peter coming to a place where even just a servant girl brought him to a place of cursing and denying that he even knew Jesus. But why did this happen? I don't think it's the same as the story of Paul. Paul was filled with the Holy Spirit when he went through his trials. Peter wasn't, but I think some of the principles are the same. That when Peter was unable to see his reliance upon himself, he couldn't be of much help to his brothers. When he was unable to see that he had a confidence which was not a confidence in God, but rather was a confidence in his own strength, a confidence in what he could do and what he had done, God needed to strip him down. He needed to be brought to a place of humility. God needed to bring him down to a place where he realized that all that Peter possessed, all that Peter was going to bring to the equation, was actually worthless. That Peter on his own was capable of doing things that he could never have conceived that he would be capable of denying Jesus. But God allowed it for a purpose, to bring Peter low so that he would realize that his trust needed to be in God, that he needed to be filled up with a strength that was not of himself. And what's more, at the end of it all, there was the promise that once you have turned again, strengthen your brothers. That once he'd been allowed to go through this place of being humiliated and realizing that of himself, he didn't have the answer of himself, his own strength was worthless, then he could come to a place where Jesus would say, "When you've turned again, strengthen your brothers." Now you have something to strengthen people with. Now it's not about Peter, because that's what it is. If we have it in our own strength, and I think I've been exposed to this, I've probably done this myself, when we're relying on our own strength, whether we use our own words or not, it's what we try and pass on to others. Do this because I did this. Do this because I did this. Look what I'm doing. You should do it too. Which ultimately, it just produces dead works. But if we've come to a place where we've been brought down, where we've been humbled, when we realize that our strength and what anything good in our life is coming from the work of our Heavenly Father in us, then we have something to come alongside somebody else and pick them up and help others. Then we've come to a place where we can come alongside and actually offer something that will be of strength to others. Because we'll be giving of what's been given to us. We'll be giving the grace that's been given to us from our Heavenly Father and offering that to others. And that's a place where we can strengthen our brothers and sisters. Let's turn to John chapter 21, and I'll finish there. John chapter 21, verse 15. So when they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." And he said to him, "Tend my lambs." And he said to him again a second time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." He said to him, "Shepherd my sheep." He said to him the third time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, "Do you love me?" And he said to him, "Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Tend my sheep." So I think this is Jesus again calling to mind to Peter the failings that he had. And I don't think it was to, we know it wasn't to humiliate Peter or anything mean-spirited, but Jesus was reminding Peter of two things here. That Peter's calling was to tend to the lambs, to tend to the sheep, to be used of God, to be a pillar in the building of his church. And I like the language here. I like how it starts with tend to the lambs. There's like a gentleness there. There's a humility required. There's a weakness in the lambs that God was asking Peter to fulfill. And I think we know that each word in Scripture has, there's nothing loose about it or unintentional. So it starts with tend to the weak ones. And in Jesus reminding Peter of this, it was his calling, but Jesus is also reminding Peter by through saying it three times, he was reminding Peter again of his own failings. And at the end of it, Peter was saddened. But Jesus knew it was okay because Jesus knew that Peter had faith and he knew that Peter was going to follow after him, was going to fulfill this calling, and that from this place of weakness, of knowing his own failures and knowing his own shortcomings, he could actually be used to fulfill the calling, the very high calling that God had on Peter, that he would tend to the lambs, that he would shepherd the sheep, and that he would tend to the sheep, that he would lay his life down, as it says in the very next verse, that ultimately he would come to a place of the laying his entire life down, going to a place where he was bound and led where he did not want to go because he was going to lay his life down for these sheep to follow Christ's example and to tend and build up the body. And I was just reflecting on this, and I was actually interesting, I'll finish with this, as I was reflecting on this, I was thinking it's a wonderful example, I think, of God redeeming Peter's failings and using it and showing Peter that he was weak of himself and then his calling to tend and bear the burdens of others. But I just, as I read that passage, tend my lambs, I was actually thinking of the mums, because it was like, you could think of this as like, well, I'm not an apostle, and we've read about two great apostles, Peter and Paul, who went through these great stripping downs, through these intense situations that was stripping down their own strength and teaching them to rely on God so that they could be used in the church, which is true and wonderful examples. But I was just thinking, even in our own house, it's Maddie that's very often that is tending to the lambs. And I think for each of us, as we reflect and want to be used of God, want God to use us to be a blessing to our children, to this body, then I think we also have to know and accept that there's going to be times where we get humbled, times of being humiliated, times of realizing and being shown, as Andrew said, a little clearer picture of who we truly are. But when that comes, we also need to remember that just as Paul said, he had a hope in God who raises the dead. And as when Jesus instructed Peter, when you return, when your faith doesn't fail you, because Jesus was praying it wouldn't, strengthen your brethren. That we too can go through these periods of being humbled, humiliated, brought low, have our weaknesses exposed, so that at the end of it all, we can be a blessing to others, that we can even be a blessing in our own home, tending to the lambs that God has given us and entrusted us. Because even in that, raising our children for Christ, we have instruction from the Scriptures, We have good counsel, but I think ultimately success in it, as with anything else in the kingdom of God, is going to come through the strength that God gives, through the grace that God gives, and through having our lives lived in a place of dependence on our Heavenly Father, where we're listening for His voice, where we're listening for His leading, where we're listening for His guidance. And we're doing that from a place of humility because we realize that of ourselves, we're going to make a mess of it. Even if of ourselves we think, okay, I got all the points, I know all the scriptures, I can quote them to you and I can tell them, which is all good. But ultimately, we still have to be coming at it from a place of, Father, help me. Show me the right way. Teach me. I want to listen. I want to have my ears open to your direction. I want to obey your voice because I know it's the only path for success. But I still need you to show me. Despite what I've learned, despite what I know, I still need you to show me how to navigate, how to walk, how to live in such a way that I can be a blessing to others, a blessing to my children, a blessing in the church, because I realize I cannot trust in myself. I don't want to trust in myself. I want to trust in you. And in trusting in you, I need to be listening. I need to be hearing your voice, and I need you to be guiding me.